Turn, if you would, this morning to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes 4. We've got our young'uns in here this morning, so be patient and be helpful, all right? And it'll be good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we will get started. Father, it is good to be in your house today. I pray that you had blessed the effort to preach your word. I thank you for the music that we've already enjoyed today. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to have an open heart to receive what it is that you've given us today, and Lord, that we'd be willing to apply it to our lives. I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Just want to remind us of what we looked at last week, because I think the reminder is good, because it can quickly fade from our minds if we're not careful. But last week we were in verses 16 and 17 of chapter 3 and watched as Solomon gave his attention to the legal system, or to the court system in his day. And what he found in the legal system and in the court system was this, is that there was corruption and there was sin and there was wickedness, there was unrighteousness, however you'd like to define it. And as he observed this corruption in the legal system, he recognized and he understood that one day God was going to judge the wicked. And for anyone who tries to do right, for anyone who tries to be a law-abiding individual, then we know that there is a sense of joy and satisfaction that comes from this truth that one day the corrupt and one day the ungodly will be judged. But in saying that, Solomon also said this, that just as God will judge the wicked, he will also judge the righteous. And so as we compared that in our modern day scenario, I tried to remind us of this, that everyone one day will stand before God. And many times it is easy for those of us who are not necessarily in positions of authority, it is easy for us sometimes to become critical of those who are in authority, and we look forward to the day when all of their wrongs will be judged and everything that they've done that we didn't agree with, they'll have to give an account for. And what I tried to remind us of last week was simply this, that the measure by which we judge others will be the same measure by which we are judged. And so if we're going to hold a person to this level of accountability, if we're going to do so with this kind of a spirit and with this kind of an attitude, then we need to remember that that same spirit and that same attitude will be used against us as we are judged. And so it's a challenge to exercise some grace, to exercise some mercy, and to exercise some understanding from time to time. And so you may not have dwelt upon that this past week, but you may need to this week. Just remember to show some grace, to show some kindness, a little bit of compassion, a little bit of understanding, and that may help you out in the long run in a major kind of a way. All right? And so that's what we talked about last week. Today we're moving on. As we move on this morning, I know that we live in a pretty sensitive culture. Would you agree? We live in a culture that is pretty mindful of people's feelings and people's thoughts, and we live in a world today that is fairly politically correct, and so there are certain things that you're supposed to say, certain things you're not supposed to say. And this morning I want you to know I'm not trying to be insensitive, and I'm certainly not trying to break the rules of political correctness, but sometimes there are just certain truths out there that cannot be denied no matter how sensitive your culture is. So here is a truth that cannot be denied, whether it's offensive or not, and that is this: some things are pretty and some things are ugly. It's just the way it works. Some things are pretty while some things are ugly. How many of you have ever seen an animal and you could not help but say of an animal, even if you're not an animal lover, that is a beautiful animal? You see a horse, you see a dog, you see some animal out in the wild and you say, wow, that is a beautiful animal. At the same time, you've seen other animals, haven't you? You say, man, that is one ugly animal. I don't know what God was doing when he created that, but that is an ugly, ugly animal. It just solidifies this truth. Some things are beautiful, some things are ugly. Sometimes you drive up to a person's house and you say, man, this is beautiful. You walk in and you see how it's decorated, you see how it's done, and you say, hey, this is nice. You walk into other houses and you say, whoa, where did we step into? This is ugly. I don't know who picked out the colors. I don't know who thought that went together. I don't know when that was popular, but I'm guessing never. You know, it's just one of those moments where you say, this is beautiful. Wow, that's ugly. Some of us say that is a beautiful car. Oh, that's a beautiful car. If I had the money to buy something like that, that's what I'd buy. And you look at other cars and you say, that should have never been manufactured. That's just ugly. Right? I mean, Mustang had a lot of years like that, didn't they? Just, whew, I'm just digging a little bit. I'm just playing. But truthfully, some beautiful cars, some ugly cars, and the illustrations could go on and on. But let's just talk about this for a moment. Some people are beautiful. They just are. Some men are just exceptionally handsome. Some ladies are just exceptionally pretty. I mean, they're just beautiful to look upon. And then there are those who are ugly. That's not politically correct to say, is it? You should be mindful of people's feelings. You shouldn't say that people are ugly, but guess what? Some people are ugly. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to be hateful. I'm not trying to be offensive. It's just a fact that as there are some who are beautiful, there are some who are not beautiful. They are lacking in the realm of looks and that identification of beautiful or beauty, whatever it is. But this morning, if we're honest, here's what we know. No matter how we would view our personal looks, we have all fallen into that ugly category at some point, have we not? So I don't know. No, trust me, you have. Well, how do you know? Well, because if you wake up anything like I wake up in the mornings, I know this without a doubt, that is not a beautiful scene to behold. I mean, just yesterday morning I got up and I must have slept really well. Because I had some hair matted down over here. I had some other hair sticking up over here. That was rough. Some of you wake up in the mornings, you go stand in front of the mirror and you don't have your first layer of makeup on. There have been plenty of mornings. Susie has said to me, man, I've got dark circles under my eyes. Her hair is just kind of wild. And she has said, babe, I am rough this morning. And I'm not going to lie to her. I just say, No comment. Some of you wake up and your hair's sticking up. You haven't got that under control. You probably don't have all your teeth in yet. You sit there and smile in front of the mirror. Hey, ain't this great? Well, not really. You understand what I'm saying? Even if you were to stand this morning and say, I think I'm fairly handsome, or you were to say, I think I'm a fairly attractive woman. You may be right now, but you've certainly had your moments of ugly. Well, that's rude. It's just fact. We've all had our moments of ugly, whatever it looked like. Now, it's with that in mind, we're going to skip the final verses of chapter 3, and we're going to skip over the first few verses of chapter 4, simply because some of it is repetitive and didn't feel led to rehash some of these things. But I want us to begin looking in verse number 4 of chapter 4. And Solomon says in verse number 4, again. Again. Now let's listen, okay? This is very important. He says again, so what that means is this. He is revisiting the subject. He's visited the subject before. He has drawn some conclusions. He has made some observations. He has come up with some thoughts, and now he is revisiting the subject again. And he says, again, I considered all travail. I considered all travail. What is travail a reference to? What is Solomon talking about when he uses this word travail? Well, he's referencing, or he is speaking of, toil and labor. It's the idea of working hard. And so what Solomon is talking about, and we'll understand this more in a moment, is he is visiting and he is revisiting this idea of those who toil and those who labor and those who work hard, those who travail. We know this to be true, that just as it is true in our day, it is true in their day, or it was true in their day, that people worked hard and they labored and they toiled and they exerted themselves. Now follow this. Solomon says that as he observed this, as he considered all the travail, he also considered or gave attention to every right work. To every right work. Well, what is that a reference of, this idea of a right work? It is the idea of one who is successful in their pursuits, or one who has done well for themselves in a right way. You understand this? Solomon says he is going to consider and he is going to give attention those who labor, those who toil, those who exert the energy, those who travail, and those who have been successful, and those who have done well for themselves, and they have done so doing it the right way. Just as that happened in their day, we know that that happens in our day, correct? There are people who have this drive. There are people who have this motivation in life. They have this ambition. And here is what they are willing to do. They are willing to roll their sleeves up, and they are willing to work hard, and they are willing to put forth the labor and the energy required to do something with their lives. There are people today, just like in Solomon's day, who were willing to do such a thing, right? Okay, there are people out there who are willing to take chances. They are willing to take risks. They are willing to roll the dice, so to speak, and try certain things as it relates to their financial success and doing well for themselves. And so what Solomon noticed in their day, we would say this morning that we have seen the same thing happen in our day. And I understand this as well, okay? I just want to throw this in so that you understand that I know this. But sometimes people work hard and they don't necessarily see the gain or the benefit from it. That does happen, does it not? Sometimes people work very hard. Sometimes people work harder than other people and they don't see the gain from it. And yet we cannot deny this truth, that there are some people, they work hard and for whatever reason, God blesses and God benefits or bestows upon them this measure of success. And that is what Solomon is watching, and that is what Solomon was witnessing or giving his attention to. And so he said that as a result of considering the travail and the success or the right work, people doing well for themselves because they did it the right way, he said that for this. What does that mean, that for this? It means for a person's hard work and for their consequent success, here is what he has noticed and here is what he has observed, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor. That when a person works hard and is successful, that for that, here is what he has realized, that this person's success provokes envy or jealousy in the heart or the life or the mind of his neighbor. Following this? This person's success has brought about this person's jealousy. That for this, a man is envied of his neighbor. So what Solomon declares really isn't that big of a surprise to us. It's not something that shocks most of us. But what Solomon is saying is when a person is successful, you can be sure there will be those who are jealous of that person's success. Not everyone is going to rejoice. Not everyone is going to celebrate. Not everyone is going to be happy. Not everyone is going to join in the party, so to speak. No, there will be some who are envious. There are those who are jealous. There are those who will not be able to celebrate the successes of someone else's hard work. I trust you know this morning that though Solomon just speaks of travail and every right work, our mind generally goes to the subject of money and prosperity and things of that nature. But that's not necessarily the only thing that Solomon was talking about. Would you agree? Maybe you don't want to agree. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about just yet. Well, let's think about this. For a relationship to be successful, does there have to be some hard work involved in that? Well, of course there has to be some hard work given to that. It takes some toil. It takes some labor. It takes some travail. It takes some exertion of energy. There's no doubt that a successful relationship requires some hard work on the parts of individuals. But what about good kids, good children, respectful children, obedient children, children that maybe grow up to serve the Lord? Is that something that just happens on accident? Well, some people tend to think it does. Oh, well, you're just lucky. You've got some really good kids. Well, I beg to differ with you. A person who's got some good kids, they would say, you know, maybe they are good, but this may shock you, but that took a little bit of effort on our part. You know, I mean, at some point, my wife and I, or my husband and I, we had to exert some energy and try in this thing called raising kids. You know, if we had taken the same approach to raising our kids, somebody may say with good kids that you took with your bad kids, we'd probably have kids very similar to yours. So it's not like good relationships and good kids just come naturally for some people and it doesn't come naturally for other people. No, it's because hard work and effort and energy was given to these things. You look at a person's spiritual life. If that's going to be successful, it takes some work, does it not? Amen. You've got to put forth some efforts. You've got to put forth some energy in this. Amen. You have to exert yourself a little bit in your spiritual life, or your spiritual life will not be a success. And so there are those who put forth the effort and they give themselves to it, and therefore they do well. You talk about a person's attitude and an outlook on life, and they're always positive, they're always upbeat. Well, they're just that kind of a person. No, they've worked at being that kind of a person. They've decided, I'll put forth the effort to be upbeat and positive and to try to find the best in a situation, regardless of what it may be. Now, what's my point? My point is this. Whenever we read of someone working hard and their success, many times our mind goes to the financial realm of life, to the bottom line, so to speak, of how much money do they have, where do they live, what do they drive, so many other things. But there are other factors of life that indicate a person's success or failure, whether it be a marriage, whether it be their children, whether it be their spiritual lives, or any other number of things. And here is what is true. Whenever people succeed, there are others who are jealous. That's just how it works. Success breeds jealousy and the hearts and lives and minds of other people. Now this morning I want to ask you a question, and hopefully this will begin to tie in what I said in the opening statements. But I want to ask you this question this morning. Have you ever known a person who was jealous of someone else for any number of things? Do you ever know someone who was jealous of what someone else had by way of financial possessions or by way of financial position? You know, this person made more money than them. They lived in this house nicer than theirs or drove a car nicer than theirs. Whatever it was, have you ever known someone who was jealous of someone else's financial gain? We've probably known people like that. Well, was that pretty or was that ugly? The jealousy was ugly, was it not? You don't see an envious, jealous person and say to yourself, wow, now that's beautiful. When you see someone who is eaten up with envy and they are eaten up with jealousy and they can't be happy for someone else's successes, for lack of better words, you would say something like this, man, that is ugly. Because they cannot rejoice in what's been done for someone else or how they've benefited from their hard work. When you see someone who is jealous of someone else's relationship because they've not been willing to put forth the same kind of effort in their relationships, I don't know about you, but I cannot help but say, man, that's ugly. Get your attitude right. Be willing to work hard in your relationship like these people have worked hard in their relationship. But until you're willing to do that, that's just an ugly attitude that you've got that makes you ugly no matter how beautiful you think you are. When you see people jealous and envious of their kids, of other people's kids rather, and they say, well, I wish my kids were that way. Again, it's just me, but sometimes I want to say, well, if you had put forth the effort that they've put forth, you might not be crying the tears you're crying right now. And the jealousy that you're dealing with, you wouldn't be dealing with, but you are, and that attitude, rather than rejoicing with them, the attitude that you're manifesting, well, that's ugly. There's nothing attractive about that. And you understand how this could go on and on, don't you? I mean, just whatever a person could be jealous of or envious of, there is never a time when a person is consumed with jealousy or allowing that to be present in their lives where you say, you know, that really enhances your beauty as an individual. No, jealousy always makes a person ugly. Now, this morning, you can probably see exactly where this is headed. But I think here's what happens a lot of times in the lives of people who attend church. We like to look at ourselves in the mirror after we're all fixed up and say, my, aren't I pretty? I don't struggle with jealousy. I don't struggle with being envious. But you know, I just look at myself and what I see is a picture of beauty, because what I see is someone who is just so happy at the successes of other people, and I rejoice when other people do well, and I am just so thrilled when God blesses someone else's hard work. Now, we may think that of ourselves sometimes, but if we're honest, you know what most of us would have to admit? We have certainly had our moments of ugly when it relates to jealousy and envy. So, Brother Kyle, I don't buy it. Okay, maybe not for you, but for others. I know for myself that over the years, there's no denying that I've struggled with jealousy and envy at the success of another person's hard work and how God chose to bless them. I mean, ask yourself this morning. Have you ever walked into a person's house and your first thought was not, man, I'm so happy for him, but the first thought was something like this? Well, I'd like to have something like this. Man. Wish me and my wife, or I wish me and my husband could. Have you ever watched as someone got to experience something and they were able to do something because of how they were blessed financially, and immediately there was this little impulse of thought that said something like, phew, must be nice. Man, I've been there. I've got family that I've walked into their house and immediately I see what they've got and I know what we live in, and it's stupid. Listen, I understand it is ridiculous of me, but rather than being reminded of what I've got, I see what they have and I'm thinking, man, oh, this is how they live. I've been there. I know I've mentioned this before, but I'm trying to show us something here, okay? I know people in the ministry, and I talk to them from time to time, and I know what they're getting to enjoy, and I know what they're getting to experience. And there have been many occasions in my life where I've thought, that's what I wanted. That's what I was wanting to get out of life. That's what I was wanting to have done for me. I mean, why can't I have that? Rather than remembering what I've got, there is the success of my neighbor and that success that God has allowed them to enjoy. Rather than me rejoicing in their success, that jealousy and that envy has been provoked in me. And here is what I know. Every time that I allow jealousy and envy to be a part of my life, to be a part of my mindset, to be a part of my outlook, friends, I am ugly, no matter how I may look on the outside. Let's listen to this, please. Whenever we cannot rejoice in the successes and the prosperity of others because we're envious of what they have, whether it be money, whether it be relationships, children, or whatever it is, we are ugly individuals. And here is what I know for myself, maybe not for anyone else, but here is what I know for myself. I've already alluded to it, but I want to make sure this is clear. Jealousy can pop up without any warning whatsoever. Can't it? Amen. You didn't mean to be jealous that day. You just went to work and heard someone else talking, and immediately jealousy sprung up in your heart. You didn't mean to be jealous, but you went to church that morning and you saw what someone else pulled up in, and you looked at what you pulled up in, and then all of a sudden, boom, you were jealous. You didn't mean to be jealous, but you were talking to those friends of yours, and they began talking about what they were going to be doing for whatever their, you know, family was going to be doing, and you didn't mean to be jealous, but just all of a sudden it came. We've got to realize that as beautiful as we think we are, we've all been ugly in this realm of jealousy before, and this jealousy, it can crop up immediately with no warning whatsoever, and it makes us unattractive individuals. Not only that, if you look in verse number 4 again, Solomon said, as he considered all travail and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor. Notice what he said next. This is also vanity. This is vanity. What does it mean for something to be vanity? It means this, for it to be empty. For it to be pointless, for it to be profitless. There is no value to this. You know what Solomon recognized as he looked at the jealousy that some have toward the hard work and successes of others? He realized this, there's no point in that vanity, or there's no point in that jealousy, rather, that jealousy is vanity. Can I remind us of something this morning? That you and I being jealous of others doesn't profit us one bit. So you see someone who's doing well over here. You see someone else who's doing well over here. Someone who's being prospered over here and they're being blessed over here. Okay, if we allow jealousy to sneak into our lives and then to begin manifesting itself, thus itself making us ugly, we've got to remember it's not doing us any good to be jealous of anybody else's successes. It's not like our jealousy is going to make them less successful. It's not as though it's accomplishing anything productive in our life or profitable in our lives. But he said, not only is this vanity, he said, it's vexation of spirit. What is a vexation of spirit? It's just the idea of it leaves us longing in our soul. It works on us internally. You know what jealousy does? It eats at us while having no impact on the one we're jealous of. So when we're jealous of someone else, when we're envious of someone else's successes, here's what happens. Not only does it not benefit us, it actually works us over in our spirit. It hurts us internally, and it doesn't change their circumstances one bit. You know who loses in every bit of the jealousy we struggle with? We do. Whenever a person is jealous, they are the losers in that situation. Because, see, our jealousy isn't going to change their financial successes. It will not change their marriage, their kids, their spiritual lives, or anything else. Our jealousy is only going to make us more miserable. Solomon revisited this idea of hard work, labor, travail, putting forth the energy, and those who are successful in their efforts. And he said, here's what I've discovered, and here's what I've learned once more, that provokes people to jealousy. The problem with it is this, is that jealousy is vanity and nothing but vexation of spirit. I just want to remind us this morning that when we allow ourselves to become jealous, first of all, it makes us very ugly individuals. It profits us nothing to be jealous, and in fact, it just makes us more miserable as individuals. Now, I'm going to ask you this morning to consider something. You don't need to be honest with me. You just need to be honest with the Lord. But I want to ask you right now, is there any touch of ugly in your heart right now? Now, it may be that you're sitting here this morning and say, oh, no. No, I'm not jealous of anyone. I'm not envious of anyone right now. That's good, but there may be some right now, if they would just be honest. There is someone, there is something, there is a situation somewhere that if they'd just be honest before God, they would have to admit, man, I've been jealous of that. I've been envious of that. I've not been able to celebrate and to rejoice with them. Understand this morning, that is an ugly, ugly feature that needs to be addressed and dealt with. And this morning, don't sit here and act like jealousy is not something you'll ever struggle with. Because if you're human, there is something that will come up that will make you wish your situation was different and more like theirs. I may not be able to touch on it this morning. I may not be able to address it right now. But I promise you, at some point, Satan will make sure that we see someone has it better than us. And in that moment, we will either respond with joy for their successes, or we will respond with jealousy. But just remember, the jealousy profits us nothing. There is no value or benefit to the jealousy at all, and we're only making our lives more miserable. All right? Let's all stand this morning and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you'd bless now the effort to preach your word. I pray that you'd help us to be honest before you. God, it may be that there are some in here this morning they could truthfully say, as far as they know right now, there's not a bit of envy in their heart toward anyone. They don't know of a jealousy that they're dealing with toward any person, any relationship, whatever it may be. And for that, that is a wonderful thing. But God, it may be that if we were honest, some may have to say, even this week we found ourselves struggling in our attitude toward the successes of other people in some realm of life. And Lord, if not recently, it will happen in the future. Because it is easy to lose sight of what we already have and to focus on what others have that we wish we had. So I pray that you'd help us to remember it's not a beautiful thing. It's vanity and vexation of spirit. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.